This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
And welcome to 7-5 Radio. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew. Walter, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. Second cup of coffee is kicking in finally.
I hear that, brother. Hey, how was your Christmas?
My Christmas was pretty good, man. You know, it was quiet, but it was very warm. My son come over with his girlfriend. They are high school sweethearts. They're both out of high school now, so they're still sweethearts. So I guess that's a good thing. I don't know whatever happened to my high school sweetheart. Never lasted through the 12th grade. My son's doing better than his old man. And we had a nice dinner here, and we exchanged gifts, and it was pretty cool. It was nice. How about yours?
Wow. Awful. Just awful. Kid, I have two little ones. They're off the chain, running around. It took about 10 minutes to open their gifts. Wife's giving me the business for I don't know what reason. And I had to go to work. And I'm not even in public safety. So, if, like, my business shut down, guess what? Nobody would be affected, really. But going to work, that was a good point of my day. It was just awful. My wife cried. Well, why you got to go to work? Well, somebody's got to make the money. You don't. So it was absolutely awful. So that was my Christmas.
You're going to end up on one of those channels for some type of a crime. Was it like this Discovery Channel? You know, like American Justice or something. Be careful.
Nah, jail scares me too much. See, I'm a normal person. I don't want to go to jail, so I'll just leave her and just become a hobo on a boxcar on a train somewhere. But anyways, let's get down to business. First, we want to remember Corporal Ronald Singh of the Newman, California Police Department. End of watch, December 26, 2018. His killer is still at large. This morning, I retweeted a picture of his alleged killer buying some beer at some convenience store out in California. So let's hope his killer is caught and brought to justice. Well, first thing I want to do is talk about the attack of the five bums in a subway station in New York.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Go ahead.
The cop's name was Syed Ali. He was working a foot post at the East Broadway station on the F line when a female came up to him and complained of being sexually harassed by five intoxicated homeless people. He went down to the station, into the platform, saw the five gentlemen, and told them to go beat feet. They refused. And then they started ganging up on him. And then he pulled out his portable baton, or commonly known as an asp, and got it into a fighting stance. And they're encroaching him. He told him to get back. He took a swung at him. He kicked a couple of them. They fell right to the ground quickly. And as they're lurching towards him, he took a swung at another one, and one fell on the tracks. And finally, help arrived, and they were three of the five bums were arrested. Unfortunately, Officer Syed radioed dispatch saying that somebody fell on the tracks and cut third rail power. Because, in my opinion, if an F train came out and rode over that individual that fell on the tracks, society would be better for it. But, anyways, I was watching the video time and time again. I mean, he did everything by the book. He did everything that he was taught in the academy. He uses his strong hand with his asp. His left hand was free. He could have used mace. He could have used his weapon. So at first, the New York County District Attorney was not going to charge the individual, but finally, after a huge outcry, they decided to. And then the councilman, I forget his name, it's not important, for that neighborhood, he was saying that the five individuals needed some services, mental services, hospital services, things like that. And but then did manage half a second to praise the officer for job well done. Well, what's your opinion of this situation down in Brooklyn? I mean, East Broadway in Lower Manhattan.
I think the officer did an admirable job. He didn't panic. He took his fighting stance. You know, textbook police academy stuff. You know, we both know that they teach you how to, you know, stand guard and raise a straight. Well, we used to have some nightsticks. I think he did a fantastic job. You know, different strokes for different folks. You know, different cops would have said different, you know, shoot him in the kneecap, you know, and things like that. So I think that he deserves a little more recognition than he's getting. I fail to see why the district attorney didn't jump in and just and press these charges. You know, it's time that law enforcement, especially the district attorney's office, starts to show some onions in not tolerating attacks on their police officers. That's the side I'm going to look at. These guys, they committed a crime against this woman. She went to the police officer like she's supposed to do, and they wanted to attack the police officer. And they kept approaching and kept approaching. And he wasn't backing up. I saw some tweets that he backed up like a coward and such. No. That's about the bravest thing I've seen a cop do in that situation. The five individuals, like you said, one of them fell on the tracks. Oh well, but you know, he radioed in. They shut the power down and saved his life. The guy that was about to try to hurt him, he saved his life. You know, there's no reason the district attorney should have not pressed charges immediately. And the outcry for it, to change the district attorney's mind, it's time to change this district attorney's. If he's going to play by the crowd on what they want and how they want it, I think that's a bad mix. If the guys are charged, the guy breaks the law, the guy's charged, period. It doesn't matter how minor or minute it is, do it.
Exactly. And if the officer Syed was if he drew his weapon and shot a couple of these people, he still would have been justified. But then there would have been a bloody outcry. You know, New York City is killing homeless people, and Mayor de Blasio would have had another press conference. But Mayor de Blasio went on Twitter and said that attacks on NYPD will not be tolerated. I almost laughed out loud. But anyways, well, we'll come to our first break. We'll finish up with the situation in New York, Mayor de Blasio. Then we'll go on to something that I'm familiar with, sexual harassment in the workplace.
Yeah.
This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
He Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters. At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we're back on 7-5 Radio. I just enjoyed that bumper from Robin Trower. But back to the attack on the police officer in the subway station. Bill de Blasio came out and says, attacks on NYPD officers will not be tolerated. I almost laughed out loud because it's open war on the police departments, and it's even worse for the corrections department. We talked a while back about a juvenile facility in the Bronx where a large number of correction officers were hurt, and the city did absolutely nothing. So Bill de Blasio, he just wanted, since nobody was hurt, the officer wasn't hurt, firearms weren't discharged, everybody walked away with the same number of holes they came in with. Bill de Blasio took the safe route and said, I will not tolerate attacks on New York City police officers. Well, what's your take on Bill?
Oh, man, we had a discussion like that about a week ago or so, 2 weeks ago on Mr. Bill.
Right.
How this man keeps getting elected is unbelievable, you know? New York City just goes from, you know, worse to worse to worse in electing, you know, mayors. They haven't elected a good mayor, and she's, I don't know. Has there ever been a really good mayor? I don't know.
Giuliani.
Oh, yeah, Rudy. Okay. Yeah, Mr. Giuliani. I mean, and he was a prosecutor. He wasn't a politician. Again, here we go. He wasn't a politician, and he did a good job. But, you know, not enough can be said about de Blasio's negativity towards the law enforcement people. You know, he didn't show up to the hospital when that officer was shot a couple of weeks ago. Thank goodness the officer, you know, wasn't fatally wounded. And, you know,
he went on vacation when Officer Familia was laying in the morgue.
I'm speechless when it comes to this character. I really am. I don't, you know, I'm a native New Yorker. I loved the city when I was there. I still love the city, although I love it from 900 miles away. it's just the leadership is non-existent. And I'm finding that, you know, more and more as I age and, you know, like fine wine, I've realized that there are people who aren't, I don't know, trained. I don't know if trained is the right word, or brought up in such a manner where they put priorities, you know, real priorities in front of their own gains. You know, I'd stand up for somebody who was having problems in the workplace or problems out in the street. You know, job be damned. If I'm doing the right thing, it doesn't matter what other people think. The politicians these days, such as Bill de Blasio, cares too much about what other people think. Mr. Trump is the direct opposite. So I think that kind of puts it in perspective, you know, from my standpoint. But Mr. de Blasio has little or no respect for the police department. You know, any law enforcement agency. You got the police department, you got the transit department, you got corrections, as you brought up. And, you know, I think the New York City Corrections has probably the hardest job in New York State compared to the other jails and prisons, you know, because of the influx of, you know, people that are waiting trials and such. But he doesn't back up anybody unless it's politically beneficial to him and his entourage. Man is just useless as a mayor.
Right. But Bill de Blasio did come out yesterday and or Wednesday on Twitter to celebrate this magical holiday of Kwanzaa. I rebutted to Mr. Mayor and said that Kwanzaa was a fake holiday started by a convicted sex offender, and it's not for you, comma, Whitey. So,
well, he doesn't,
you know, he's pandering to
Whitey. I don't think there's any mirrors in Gracie Mansion anymore. You know, he's married to an African American lady, and that's fine. But I think he's just, maybe he was born in the wrong skin color or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he's transracial. But you know, anyways.
Know.
Right. But I mean, if you seen his wife, I mean, you would think they would do. He'd go somewhere else for his get his jollies because she's very hard on the eyes, and she's a she came out as a lesbian. She likes to prefer the intimate company of females over males. So another political marriage, just like the Clintons. But well, let's keep moving right along. You want to talk about sexual harassment in the workplace? You an expert on the subject?
Well, no, kind of, sort of, maybe. You know, I brought up my son as he was getting older and started asking about girls, and I always told him, be a gentleman. You know, don't be obnoxious. Don't say things, you know, about, because you know kids and stuff like that. And if it's let's go, I mean, it leads into adulthood and abuse into adulthood. Now, you know, something very dear to my heart is domestic violence and such like that. I've counseled people and advocated for people and went to court for people and with people and such. And sexual harassment is huge. Although there are cases where it goes too far. It's not meant what it said. You know, everything is open to interpretation these days. That's the big word, you know. And if it happens to you, and I'm not just talking about sexual harassment, I'm talking about verbal harassment. Verbally abusive harassment, you know, condescending natures, bosses talking to you, coworkers talking to you in such a manner where it's making you uncomfortable. Well, I suggest to the people that are going through that is to contact an attorney. You know, don't run to the police department or the district attorney's office and expect them to jump. I would contact an attorney and have them assess what your situation is and let them guide you. The issue, you know, like me, you know, I'm a guy who went to school. I'm a guy who was a cop. I'm a guy who went to prison. You know, I have a lot of hats. I know a little bit about, you know, everything and a whole lot about nothing. But the little that I do know is what I want to express. There are phone numbers. Just Google any kind of sexual harassment advocacy group, and they will guide you to what you need to do. But you have to take that first step. Don't let it get out of hand. If it gets out of hand and goes on for a long time, and then you decide to press charges or civil charges, it's not going to be very well received by the court system. And I've seen it happen. And these people, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, or now the middle gender or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter who you are. If you think that you're being harassed, you need to contact a legal counsel in your local area, maybe outside your local area, because the people that are harassing you probably live in that area and they may know each other. So you may want to go 50 miles away from your home and do it. But contact a legal team, have an interview, make a statement, and they'll guide you from there. Sexual harassment in the workplace is unacceptable. I've seen it. I've had to testify for people that were sexually harassed and verbally harassed by coworkers, supervisors, and the like. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty. It's downright, as they say down here in the South, ugly. Don't let yourself get involved in any kind of, if you have that activity, if you're facing that kind of an activity, you need to find help. You can't do it on your own. Take a step, my man.
Okay, well, on that word, if you see it, say something about it. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
You're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we're back on 7-5 Radio. And Walter, have you heard the... You back with us, Walt?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. Walter, have you heard the Broadway play Hamilton?
No.
Well, anyways, it's good. Because what Hamilton is a bunch of America haters came up with this idea about a play with the founding fathers, and the star of the play is Alexander Hamilton, our first Secretary of the Treasury. And anyways, this particular performance has a bunch of hip-hop, R&B songs in it, and the characters of the founding fathers are all minorities. Which, and I understand, is really anti-American, and just goes against everything that this country stands for. And, but, you know, with the First Amendment, they can do what they want. And it's the biggest thing on Broadway right now. And also, it's coming to Washington, D.C. And when the ticket, people were waiting in the middle of the night in freezing cold weather to buy tickets to this piece of crap. Well, anyways, this piece of crap, which has only been out for a couple of years now, received a special Kennedy Center Honor Awards.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Kennedy Center Awards are awards that are given out to people who made a huge impact on the arts and culture of in the United States. And it's supposed to be non-political, but of course they mucked that up. Led Zeppelin, which is a British band, received Kennedy Awards. This year also included Reba McEntire and Cher, who's been around forever. But I think it's just absolutely disgusting that the people who run the Kennedy Center decided to give awards to this awful play just to want to lampoon or mimic the people that created this country and fought for this country and made it what it is today. And they get an award for just being anti-American. As well as the anti-American Cher, who still lives in the United States, even though Donald Trump has been elected and sworn in as our 45th president. Quick talks about the Kennedy Center going to an anti-American, anti-white play.
You know, the satirism has been around for, 100 years, ever since vaudeville was invented. And if things are done in good taste about our leaders or people in the news, or such, I don't see a problem with it if it's done in good taste. But if you take something like this and, it's like what Saturday Night Live does to President Trump and what they did to Sarah Palin, many years ago. It's not done in good taste. I don't know about the play. It's something that I'll look into. I'll read up about it. But if it is just directed to one particular type of audience, that particular audience, of course, is going to say it's great. We all know the people at the Kennedy Center are weird anyway. They do some stupid stuff. Besides the Kennedys being weird. If it's done in good taste, I don't have a problem with it. But apparently this isn't. And it's like you said, mocking our forefathers, the people that created this country. And it's going too far. I don't see humor in making fun of Mr. Hamilton. I mean, the guy, what was that, over 200 years ago, the guy can't even defend himself. The guy's long dead, bringing up all kinds of nonsense about racial integrations and relations. I'll read more up about this play. What's it called, Hamilton? I'll read up.
Yeah, Hamilton.
I'll read more about this play and see the direction that it's gone and the audience that it's targeting. Like I said, if things are done, comically, like Jimmy Kimmel isn't fun. He's not funny. I don't think he's funny. Alec Baldwin isn't funny. It doesn't matter. The lady that did Sarah Palin all those years ago from Saturday Night Live, what's her name? Say she's not even
Tina Fey.
Yeah, Tina Fey's doing like bread commercials or something.
It wasn't funny. It was annoying. It was actually annoying. I mean, it's showing the world that we don't give a damn about our leaders or how our country is run or what we say about it. I know it's a free country, but, you know, my goodness, you got to have some kind of standards. So, but yeah, if it's done in good taste, I'm all for it. But if not, got to go.
Right. Well, and here's a quick note. The Kennedy Center was set up as an act of Congress. It is it's funded and operated through a public/private partnership, which means, you know, all the taxpayer from outside the Beltway get to pay for it, and all these uppity snobs who can afford to top dollar for Broadway tickets get the benefits of it. Me being in the Washington, D.C. area, I've seen time and time again all these really uppity, snobbish people who go to these functions, and you and I can't afford to go, or if it's a free event, we wouldn't be invited to go. Like, for example, the Kennedy Awards. Guess what? I never heard anything about any free tickets for the Kennedy Center Awards. Like I said, you'd be a member of the Kennedy Center Foundation or whatever, but... that's enough of that, and that's just like PBS, just like NPR, and a bunch of other stuff. We get to pay for it, and we get zero benefits. And speaking of Hamilton, Bill de Blasio and Hillary Clinton got in a big to-do a couple years back. They were at a some function. It wasn't a performance of Hamilton, but it was a satirical performance. I forget what it's called, and had one of the characters from Hamilton with the former Secretary of Defense and the mayor, and they were making a joke about somebody being late for the performance, and Bill de Blasio said, "Well, I was on CP time," and this Hillary Clinton says, "Oh, it was a concerned politician time," and it raised no eyebrows. And if two Republicans said that, they would have been hung out to dry. But, you know, since it was two liberal Democrats, that's okay. I mean, if Bill de Blasio dropped the N-bomb or Hillary Clinton said something nasty about the Jews, that would have been, they would have got a pass on MSNBC. But anyways, you know about the wall going up in south of the border, or the hope to build a wall south of the border?
Yeah, I see, clips of companies or, with heavy machinery, working on different sections and such. It's going up. I don't know who chooses the type of wall that goes up, but some of them look like they can be scaled. I'd just as soon as put up a brick freaking wall that's 25, 30 feet high.
Right.
Something that can't be scaled. There's that television show, the one up there Thursdays or something, the Oak Island. Did you ever watch that show? Did you ever see it?
No.
They right now they're building a wall to block water from going into the lagoon, and they had this company, and in a week, they had 600 feet of this wall up, and they drill it, they bang it into the ground, and it's sticking 25 feet up in the air. And what they're doing is they're going to dig out the lagoon once they drain it. But that's how quick the wall can go up. And I don't know how expensive that wall is, but that's what we need to do. It's like when they built the railroad, you start from one end and you start from the other end, you try to meet in the middle, and that's right. That's the way the wall should go up. But section by section, once it goes up, that's, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 people less than they'll be able to come into the country. Little by little, it helps. Baby steps.
Right. Well, anyways, we're in a government shutdown right now because Donald Trump wants $5 billion for the wall. And the Democrats and most of these rhino Republicans, Beltway Republicans, don't want it. So an Air Force veteran who lost three limbs in the line of duty wants to privately fund a wall. His name is Brian Colfage. I talked a little bit about him last week. And he's got almost no media airplay whatsoever. But in 2 weeks, he raised $17 million. So if you go to the website, We Fund the Wall, you'll see what the gentleman is doing. But my suggestion is, instead of he wants to give the he wants to raise $1 billion and turn over the federal government, which I don't think is going to work. What he should do is that offer landowners to build the walls. Like if you're on this U.S.-Mexico border and you want a wall, guess what? We'll come down and we'll build a wall on your property for free of charge. The only thing you have to worry about is the zoning board for the local jurisdictions. But anyways, Walt, it's a fast show. We're three segments in the book, one to go. 7-5 Radio on Liberty News Radio. We'll close it out this New Year's week. Take it away, Eric Clapton.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left and I was so mad I got out and he said, wait, your mom said to give you this. I forgot my lunch money and then I dropped it in the water and I was late for history and so at lunchtime I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which of course our library didn't have. So I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout, and then he read my history paper while I was in the pool, and of course I forgot the bibliography, so I had to do that with my mother when I got home, and it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning, and I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew, but my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team, and you know, I'm just not gonna go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. And one final note for this 2018 Christmas season. President Trump and the First Lady went to visit troops in Iraq. And, of course, the president got a... was well received. People hooting, hollering, chanting USA, 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 and of course, the mainstream media said that, well, since people had their "Make America Great" hats with them, it's a violation of military policy, and so on and so forth. And of course, Walt's girlfriend, Alyssa Milano, made an ass out of herself again on Twitter, saying that, well, Trump's not with the troops in Iraq. Well, what are your thoughts?
You know, Melissa Alano is not the brightest bulb in the drawer. You know, she. I think nobody can be that stupid. You know, I think that she's being fed this nonsense of or she's spending too much time on the internet looking up stupid stuff about past presidents and what Trump isn't doing and what he is doing that other presidents didn't do. You know, I saw that tweet, and then not 5 minutes later, he was over in Iraq with the troops, talking to the troops, him and First Lady, who absolutely just brightens up any picture that's being taken, believe me. And she, this Milano girl, I don't know where she thinks she's got a following, but I really think that smarter people are feeding her stupid stuff to stay online and do online. Because, you know, as CNN, all of them, they just did not know. And now they're saying that he ruined the trip by handing out those hats and signing the hats, and that it's some kind of violation. The guy's a commander-in-chief. You know, if he wants to bring them hats or sock puppets or whatever he wants, he could bring them. Why not? The man is you know, 100% for our military, 100% for our country's safety, and you got these idiots that can't fight their way out of a paper bag trying to criticize this poor guy. And I don't mean poor by monetary ways. I mean, the guy's getting bashed every day. This guy's got more, how can I say it? He's got more nerve than most of the world leaders that we've known in our generation. You know, he doesn't strike back. He just keeps moving forward. He takes his step. He uses that pen, and that pen is being proven to be mightier than the sword as far as the presidency goes. Your thoughts on it?
Well, I think it's great that the President First Lady came out to the troops in Iraq. And, of course, since the Republican office now, like everybody in the military is bad, anything that has to do with any military action is bad, except when Trump said, you know what, we're leaving Syria and Afghanistan. We have just no reason to be over there anymore. But, you know, kudos on Trump, as usual, for a great job. And kudos for the First Lady. I mean, she's, compared to the last First Lady, it's night and day. I mean, there's internet rumors swirling that Michelle Obama's a man. I kind of doubt that. But, you know, just the way the First Lady carries herself, just her education, her knowledge of language. I mean, she had her own business businesses when she was Mrs. Trump. She could have just stayed home and spent all his money and did nothing. But no, she went out there, and she's an architect by education, and she had a line of clothing or perfumes or lady stuff. I don't know, but good for her. Meanwhile, Michelle Obama, who's spent all her life here, just has and graduated law school and became a lawyer. I'm not gonna say a successful lawyer. That has nothing to do but to bash this country. So you know, there you go. But anyways, well. Last couple of minutes, what's your hopes and plans and dreams for 2019?
Oh, man, I don't know. We always have – it's always good to have dreams, you know. Hopes I make it to 61 next November. That's one hope, you know. Right. If I get a chance, I'd like to go to Europe this year. I'm not going to be like a tourist. Kind of Europe trip. It's going to be, you know, I'm going to go to England and spend 5 days in England and then come home. You know, I'm not going to try to do every damn city, you know, in 7 days and never enjoy it. I'd like to go to one place and then go from there locally, you know, so maybe London, you know, we'll see what happens. I got to get a new pool. My pool is almost 20 years old, and it's had better summers. I'm not a man that wants for a whole lot. I'm easy to please, you know. I may be cheap, but I ain't easy. Maybe what's the other way around? I may be easy, but I ain't cheap. I just want to be healthy this year. I want my friends and family to be healthy. I want the troops to come home, so they could be with their families. all law enforcement. I think there was, I know it was 1984, I believe, that New York City had no law enforcement fatalities. I believe it was 1984. It was when I was going through the police academy. So, you know, I wish our law enforcement people, our corrections people, that everybody stays healthy and be true to yourself. Don't take any wooden nickels like I used to.
Or don't take any nickels, period.
Yeah.
Unless they're coming from your employer or for services rendered. But
what are your wishes for the year besides having a better Christmas next year? What do you want?
Well, I hope that, A, my kids be quiet, leave me alone. I hope to get a decent night's sleep in 2019. I hope for continued success of 7-5 Radio.
Yep.
I hope Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden runs for office, because that makes up plenty of material. What else I hope? I hope that our law enforcement are not used as cannon fodder by the politicians. I hope our boys and girls overseas come home. I hope the government builds that wall. What else I hope? I don't know. I'm pretty easy. I hope I hit the lottery. That'd be nice. Hit the Powerball. Get a couple nickels and then tell my wife, see ya. hope my car. Yep. Hope my car lasts another couple years. I'm still paying that off. Yay! But it's a Ford. What else I hope? I hope somebody decent runs for mayor in 2021 for the city of New York. God knows they need it. They need another Giuliani. Bill de Blasio stopped what Giuliani and Bloomberg did in just 4 years, and the idiots voted for him again. Hope the media just continues to hemorrhage viewers. I no longer have CNN or MSNBC on my cable, because I told my cable company to, you know, start cutting services that I don't watch, and they said, okay, well, you're not gonna have MSNBC or CNN. It's like, go right ahead. But they also cut all my sports, and which I don't care, because I don't watch ESPN anymore. And now Disney, ESPN, and ABC are fighting with my cable company, because they want even more money to provide programming, even though less and less people watch them. So I can't wait till my cable contract expires, so I'll be watching television through other means, like Roku Player, which you can catch this awesome program on the Roku Player on Liberty News Radio. And I wish peace on earth and goodwill towards men, except liberals. I want all these liberals in the Washington, D.C. area that drive Subarus. I wish they would drive in the Potomac River. But, well, that's something I don't get. All these people in the D.C. area, all these, you know, so-called progressives, they drive Subarus. I don't understand it. Just everywhere I look, every other car is a Subaru. I mean, these good liberals, they're all about the working man, the working woman, and the union labor. But a lot of them live in the Commonwealth of Virginia, which is a right-to-work state, and they all drive these Subaru cars. I don't get it. What's it about Subarus?
Subaru making illegal donations to campaign funds and stuff? Is that part of it?
I don't know. I know if, like, Subaru, you buy a Subaru, they make a donation to a charity. But I mean, you could buy a car and make a donation in your own pocket. So I don't understand that. But, you know, I guess it's a good way to attract liberals, because they think it's other people's money that they're giving to these charitable causes. But it's your money, because if it's the money that they're going to give to that charity is coming from the sale of the car from your pocket or your bank's pocket. So I don't know. But for some reason, I see these Subarus all over the place, and there's awful drivers. I got to be the only person in Northern Virginia that drives an American car and supports Trump. So if you see the Ford somewhere on the Beltway, that's me.
Yeah, I drive
a everybody else is
Ford. I drive a Ford. So, yeah, I drive American.
Well,
33%.
But All right, Walt, Riders on the Storm's coming up, so that's going to be the end of it for us. But, Walt, I want to wish you a very happy and healthy 2019. We're not going anywhere. Same to everybody else. Check us out at 75radio.com, at Scoop Stanton, at Walter Yerq, at 75 Radio 1. All right, Walt, that's it for me. You got any last words? You got about 2 seconds. Go ahead.
Everybody have a great week, safe week, and hug your loved ones.
All right. Take it away, James.
This is James Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.